Genesis 1 through 11 is foundational to everything else in the Bible. But some say it's just poetry, filled with myths and folk tales. These chapters answer some of life's biggest questions. Who created us? Where did languages and nations come from? Today's episode uncovers how one act of defiance at the Tower of Babel shaped human history. Listen now to hear how one swift divine act shattered humanity and confused our languages.
Well, today we complete the opening section in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 through 11. This section of Scripture is the most foundationally important section in the entire Bible. And frankly, it's unfortunate to me that so many so-called Christians today say that Genesis 1 to 11 is not that important. It's just poetry. It's just a series of folktales and legends to encourage people in life. You don't need to take it so literally. Well, beloved, if God didn't say what he meant, how do we know the rest of the Bible is what he really meant? Let me tell you, so many of our core doctrines are directly or indirectly introduced in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, which is why there is such a battle over these chapters. Like, did God literally create the universe to be perfectly suited for life on earth? Who created male and female gender? Who created marriage to be cooperation instead of competition? Where did sin come from? Where did the idea of an innocent animal dying for sin come from? Was there a promise of someone becoming the final sacrifice to pay for our sin? Why do we have to grow old and die? Where did crime and justice come from? How old is the human race? Why does the earth look millions of years old if it was created only thousands of years ago, according to Genesis? And how do we know if planet Earth will be able to make it, you know, to sustain life throughout human history? Well, guess what? All these questions have been answered in these opening chapters. Now, Genesis chapter 10 is going to answer another question as we arrive here in this text. It's going to answer the question, where did all the nations of the earth come from? And the answer is very simple. They all descended from Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. A long list of the descendants of these three sons is given here in chapter 10, which concludes with verse 32 that reads, "These are the families of the sons of Noah according to their genealogies by their nations, and out of these the nations were separated on the earth after the flood." So every nation today can trace its roots back to one of Noah's three sons. Well, here's another question answered in Genesis chapter 11. Where did all the different languages come from? Now, evolutionists argue that humans learned to talk by grunting like animals. Trouble is, as far back as we've been able to trace the human language, we've discovered complex languages with vocabulary and grammar, not primitive symbols or grunts. The evidence proves that language isn't the result of evolution over millions of years, but that language appeared immediately in complexity. We know from Genesis chapter 2 that language, in fact, is a unique characteristic of human beings. It was a communication gift to us from God's creative wisdom. But how did we jump from one language given to Adam and Eve to so many different languages today? Well, in Genesis 11, we're told how it happened. Verse 1 reads, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there." Now, at this point, everybody is speaking the language God created for Adam and Eve. Now, we're not told what that language was, so don't write and ask me because I don't know. Following the flood, the people stayed together and eventually arrive here in this land of Shinar. Shinar is the original Babylon. And we're going to run into this city, by the way, throughout Scripture. So get the picture here now. Here's the human race, 100 years after the flood, probably numbering several hundred thousand people by now, and they're migrating to this beautiful valley area. effectively, by the way, ignoring God's command back in Genesis 9 to disperse and populate the earth. Well, they're not going to do that. And they make their defiant declaration here in verse 4. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. You could translate that, we're not going to obey God and disperse, we're going to build us a city. Now, back in chapter 10 and verse 8, we're given the name of their leader. His name was Nimrod. In verse 9, he's called a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the phrase before the Lord literally means in opposition to the Lord. Mighty hunter means despot. So Nimrod becomes the world's first dictator, and he hates God. And the centerpiece of his empire is a tower, we're told here in verse 4 of chapter 11, that it was a tower with its top in the heavens. Literally, the top represented the heavens, the stars, the constellations. Archaeologists have discovered the remains of a tower in this region. It's a step pyramid or a ziggurat, which was part of a religious system. In fact, the Arabs in this region have nicknamed it the Tower of Nimrod. Now, we don't know if it's the original tower ruins or not. What we do know is that Nimrod created the worship system around the stars and the planets. The historian Herodotus, who lived 400 years before Christ, wrote that these towers, these ziggurats, were topped by religious shrines. Apparently, these shrines were brightly tiled and painted with the astral signs of the zodiac. So back here in Genesis 11, what you have here are these people building the original tower, developing the original worship system of the heavens, what we now call astrology. Now, you might think nobody today is going to believe the stars and planets out there influence their lives. So, to this day, people pore over their horoscopes. They believe the stars have power over their lives. People today talk about speaking into the universe and the universe responding with an answer. Well, from the Tower of Babel, astrology seems to have passed over to ancient Egypt. The famous Sphinx has the head of a woman representing Virgo, the first sign of the zodiac, and the body of a lion, more than likely representing Leo, the last sign of the zodiac. In other words, the Sphinx may have represented their worship of the universe, which they believed was immortal. It was the beginning and the end. Well, in Revelation 22, Jesus sets the record straight once and for all when he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, back here in Genesis 11, beginning in verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. In his gracious restraint of their growing idolatry, the Lord supernaturally now separates mankind by creating different languages. This is miraculous. And by the way, if God can create one language for Adam and Eve, he can certainly create 100 more. The Lord is going to perform, by the way, another miracle involving language in the future kingdom when he brings all his redeemed together following the tribulation period. Listen to what he announces through Zephaniah the prophet. I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. We may still use our native languages in the kingdom, but God is going to give us all the ability to speak the same language again. The separation of mankind at the Tower of Babel is going to be miraculously reversed in the coming kingdom, and we will all worship our King and Creator with this one universal language. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
God used the Tower of Babel to fulfill his purpose for humans' diversity, but friend, he plans to unite us again with one another in one universal language in his kingdom. That was Stephen Davey, and he called today's lesson the Tower of Babel. Stephen, you're here in the studio, and we've heard from some listeners.
Yeah, I appreciated this note from a young gal named Sarah. She writes very transparently, "Last year, I heard you on the radio one morning, and I thought, I have to check this guy out. I don't swallow everything I hear hook, line, and sinker." Well, good for you, Sarah. Keep it up. She writes, "I search God's word to see if what's being said agrees with Scripture." Well, now you're on my short list of Bible teachers that I trust to deliver the truth of God's word. And I listen to the Wisdom Journey, and then I listen to Wisdom for the Heart every night. Well, Sarah, keep studying the Scriptures, and we're honored to be on that short list. Scott, we often enjoy also hearing from inmates. We know that our Wisdom Journey is reaching right now about 27,000 inmates around the country who are watching on tablets. More on that in a moment. But John Graves writes, "I'm excited to write to you. I'm currently in jail. I'm thankful that I can watch your videos on this tablet. I've enjoyed every single one. I started in Genesis, and now I'm up to Job. I've given myself to the Lord, and I find your videos very informative. May I please ask for your prayers as well? I'm often scared and anxious here in prison. I know I can give my anxieties to the Lord, but it's not always easy." Well, John, we're all the same in that, and I'm grateful to hear that you're going to him for strength. Daniel writes, "I'm 49 years old. I'm currently incarcerated. I received your Heart to Heart magazine. It has inspired me in my walk with God. The reason for this letter is to let you know how thankful I am for the inspiration and knowledge that I've learned, and I'm learning to fear the Lord, and that kind of fear is good. I read your devotionals daily." Thank you, Daniel, for writing to us.
Friends, Daniel mentioned receiving our magazine there in prison, and we're so thankful for those who support our ministry and make it possible for us to send free resources to prison inmates. And of course, those tablets are available in over 2,000 prisons. And as Stephen mentioned, 27,000 inmates are using those resources to grow in God's Word each day. Thanks for joining us today. Stephen will be back in the book of Genesis next time, so join us here on the Wisdom Journey.